Hello again, and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. I am Chewy.
Hi, Chewy.
And, and this is episode...
Hi, Chewy.
God. This is episode 579. One more would be 580.
Yeah, math. Look it up.
Because math, yeah.
Read a book.
I am tired. Today has not been the best of days. So this is sort of a... I'm glad there's not much to talk about as far as volume. You know, quantitative analysis will be relatively short. Qualitative, there's probably a pretty good amount. Anyway.
Numbers will be safe from crunching for the time being.
It was the worst of days. It was the worst of days.
Is that like a nihilist Arby's quote?
It's like, it was the best of times. No, just kidding. Those don't happen.
It was the worst of times. It was the worst of times.
So, yes, the worst of times are brought to you by Clues.
bonjour, auditeurs de Quebec.
Yeah. And
that's episode 579, you see.
The other worst
of times. Were you bitten by a radioactive French Canadian?
Well, being in Michigan, that is actually an occupational hazard.
Yeah, you got to watch out for that. I mean, they'll be very polite, but you'll still become...
Oh, yeah, they will apologize after they do it.
And then you will apologize to them for being bitten because it affects you that fast.
Yeah, and they will apologize twice, once in English, once in French.
Well, it's good to cover your bases.
So the other...
Hi, I'm also here.
Yeah, brought to you by Squee. Good Lord. So, right.
That is, in fact, my card title.
It is, actually. In French, it turns out.
Ooh. European card names are so much cooler.
Only two things of note that we can tell actually happened this weekend. And the first and most obvious of which is that the 2017 World Championship happened.
Dun, 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 dun.
And with a very impressive 12-2, Huey Jensen won.
Yay!
Hoorah!
Old Huey Jensen.
12-2 seems pretty good.
Let's see.
Considering, did you see the field that he was up against? It's like they only invited the best to this thing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's strange that, you know, only the best showed up to this. It was a really small tournament.
I think they just didn't tell anyone else where it was.
Oh.
So yeah, he had 36 points, right? 12-2. The next four players only had 27 points. That means he was X and 2. He went 12-0 and then lost the last two rounds. The next four players below him had a record of X and 5.
So I'm going to say that he crushed it. Can we say that?
I think that's probably a good way to put it.
Sounds accurate.
Yeah, because let's see. Well, I guess the top four of the rest of the top four, Josh Utter Layton, Javier Dominguez, Kelvin Chu, and then Reed Duke all had the 27 points. Isn't that something? That seems like something.
It does.
But
sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So let's see. So this was a little weird because it was a very small meta. We've talked about this with other small events like this. It's a very small meta. This is not necessarily indicative of what Standard will look like because these guys all were planning for a meta game of 23 other people. Yeah.
of the best players in the world.
Against.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were probably not going to be very many surprises. They probably had a fairly decent idea of what everyone was going to play. You know. But Jensen was playing Teamer Energy.
Well, format solved.
Yep,
World
there you go.
Played it.
Best deck.
Let's see.
Numbers
so there are a variety of links in the show notes for you guys. There are links to... That's the top four deck list. That's not the one I wanted. But there are links to all 24 standard decks. There's a link to the World Standard Compendium by Frank Karsten, where he looks at what, like, there weren't that many deck archetypes being played, so he's got them all grouped up and looking at what's going on with each one. And then, well, I guess those are the only links that matter for this particular discussion. So,
Yeah.
Looking at Karsten's article, 37.5. What is 37.5%? That'd be like, well, it'd be 9, I guess, right? Oh, 9 out of 24 players. Yeah, thanks, Frank. So yeah, 9 out of the 24 players were playing Ramanop Red, which was just punching people all over the tournament, because it's Ramanop Red, and that's what it does.
That is what it does, yes.
Yeah. We've got the Teamer Energy deck, which was played by 6 players, including Huey and Reed and Owen, and then apparently 3 others who just didn't bother.
And everyone from now on.
Well, probably.
You know, give or take a week or two and learn how to metagame again.
Oh, here we go. Yuya Watanabe, Ken Yukihiro, and Sebastian Pazzo were all running that deck. There was a 4-color energy deck, which was essentially Teamer Energy with 2 copies of the Scarab God. Whew. 4 players were playing the blue-black control deck. And those 4 are Sam Black, Josh Utterleighton, Jerry Thompson, and Kelvin Chu. So, you know, it must be pretty good, because they're... Well, of course, they're at Worlds, so they're 4 of the best, but still. When you think of some of the best active players, they're probably some of the ones that jump to mind first, you know?
Yeah.
We've got Grixis Control, which is the blue-red control... blue-black control deck with a little bit of red thrown in. And then, Donald Smith is running the really, like, surprise deck. It's called Treasure Red.
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
Yeah. Who did I just say ran that? Because these are in alphabetical order. Smith.
Donald.
Scroll. Here it is. So, yeah, at first glance, it looks sort of like a Ramanop Red deck, but it's really not.
No, it's got a few very fundamentally different things going on in it.
Yeah, like, for instance, it's running Glorybringer, which I don't think the Ramanop Red decks are, right?
I think I've seen some of them have it. It's often lurking in the board.
Ah, okay.
I mean, this, admittedly, most of my memories of that deck are pre-rotation.
Yeah,
so it's kind of hard to rely on it right now.
So yeah, he's got some of the early game stuff you'd expect. Bomad Courier, Soulscar Mage, the Earthshaker Kenra. He's got Hazoret. He's got some Burn Spell, Shock, Lightning Strike, Abrade. He's got Glorybringer and Chandra bringing up the top end. But then he's got 4 copies of Wily Goblin. You know, the 1/1 who drops a treasure.
It's yep. Goblin Pirate.
Who is a Goblin Pirate. And since they look like monkeys on this plane, there it's a Goblin Pirate parentheses monkey. And then we've got Captain Lannery Storm, who, if I remember correctly, Bill, was it you saying that this thing was brutal and sealed?
It's pretty disgusting. Admittedly, in sealed, you're also less likely to have an answer for it the turn it, you know, shows up. But... yeah, it's a 2/2 with haste for 3, which normally is whatever, but in practice, attacking with it makes a token pop out, and you can, specifically a treasure token, and whenever you sack one of those, for any reason, Captain Lannery Storm gets +1/+0 till end of turn, so you have the ability to be attacking with a 3/2 haster, or if you get through cleanly, you've now got a treasure lying around, and that just sort of adds up very quickly.
Yeah. So that's pretty neat. But as far as, like, specifics about these decks, we're not going to get deep because, again, this meta was for a 24-person tournament where basically everyone knew what or had an idea of what everyone was playing.
Yeah, and for the most part, there weren't a lot of risks being taken that I can see.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, listeners, if you need analysis, in-depth analysis, so that you can play against 24 of the best players in the world, you've come to the wrong podcast.
I will recommend running some number of land.
Yeah, it's a good call.
Do at least 20 damage one way or another.
Yeah, or deck them, I suppose. Although that's never viable.
Not usually.
It has been a couple helpful times, but not anytime recently.
I can give you some sealed advice. Open good cards, only play 40 of them.
Oh, and you want to make as few mistakes and misplays as possible.
These are all good bits of advice that we could all totally deal with.
Excellent. Yeah. We're helping.
Yeah, making the world a better place. But suffice it to say, once we have some actual metagames with more, you know, let's say a more reliable sample size of what you're likely to actually run into in a tournament, because I don't think you're going to run into the top 24 of this event very often. And by then, they will have adapted their decks too.
If you do, get autographs.
Yeah. So anyway.
That's your top 24.
That
top 24 card deck.
Wow. So, yeah. Huey started this tournament off 12-0, which is completely insane.
That is ridiculous.
And he was in his hometown, because he's from Boston. So that probably helped. With all the post-game interviews and all of that, people were asking, you know, what's the best part? And he's like, doing it here at home. So that's pretty cool.
Gives him that extra advantage of knowing where the good food is.
Ooh, yeah, you can't underestimate that. Maybe that's the key. That's the secret.
What, play at home?
Play at home, yeah.
Know where the good food is.
That probably helps. Also, like, test like your future depends on it. Apparently, he started prepping 5 weeks ago, and he played about 10 hours a day, almost literally every single day. So, you know.
Is 5 weeks ago when we found out what cards were in the new set?
That like sounds it. Right. As I recall, in one of the articles, he said that they wanted to be prepared for when it released on MTGO, so they like hit it right away, that they just wanted to solve standard. And it's solved, so great. Being Teamer Energy.
But then, like, half of the top four was the blue-black control deck.
Admittedly, half of four is not two. That different from one of four.
Wait, it's double.
It's 50% more.
Actually,
it's more than that, Liz.
It's 100% more. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Do not come here for crunchy numbers.
Right, we are not crunching numbers.
We are
not
qualitative.
It's been a real long Monday.
So, what else? What else is there to talk about here? Let's see, in the top five or top stories. Oh, right, the team series.
Oh, yeah, hey.
Yeah, so at the end of the team series, because this is the first year that the team series has been a thing, right? Teams Musashi and Genesis were on top. Musashi is Kentaro Yamamoto, Yuya Watanabe, Ken Yukihiro, Yuki Ichikawa, Teruya Kakume, and Shota Yasuoka. And I'm sure I screwed some of those up, but whatever. So there's a bunch of names in Duet.
You were sufficiently close.
Thank you. There are a bunch of names in there that are huge. But then Team Genesis is Brad Nelson, Lucas Blahan, Seth Manfield, Thomas Hendricks, Martin Dang, and Martin Mueller. So more huge names. And so they faced off in two 3v3 Ixalan Team Sealed matches. The first match was Genesis. The second match was Musashi. And then they had to take a tie break. And it turns out that Team Musashi ended up taking it. So congrats to them for being the very first Pro Tour Team Series, or whatever the official name of this whole nonsense is.
Man, I really thought you were going to swear there. I'm sorry. I don't know why. It was just how you hesitated at one word. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Deep thoughts with Aaron Locke.
Who?
I don't know. His wife.
Have you moved your microphone again, by the way, because you keep cutting out as if you're really quiet.
Wait, I do or Squee does?
Squee does.
I haven't touched the microphone, so maybe sound is different now.
Ooh, touch your microphone.
Sensually.
It's staring at me, guys. I don't... Got a red light on it. I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't
like some HAL 9000 nonsense.
Don't think that was sensual.
I'm
but okay.
afraid I can't do that, Squee.
Days. Days. What, too soon? Really? Come on, dude.
No,
2001 was like 16 years ago.
And when did the film come out?
I was going to say, the film was a lot, but no, yeah, you're right.
70s? Okay.
Yeah.
60s. It was before 60s. We went to the moon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was. That's what's inspired this nation to go to the moon and or to fake the moon landing, you know, whatever. Because Kubrick, yeah, filmed,
for the most part, it inspired the design of Apple products.
Yeah,
and screensavers.
Yeah. So anyway,
that was a nice tangent.
Is there? 13. Oh well, the two players that actually managed to take down Huey Jensen and the Swiss were Kelvin Chu and Javier Dominguez. The two guys that he had to beat in the top four.
Huh. Well, good that he got that out of his system before the top four.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, so, well, I was going to say revenge is a dish best served with a side of, let's say, Cheddar Bay biscuits. I don't actually know.
We've already established that he knows where the good local food is.
That's right. And I'm sure there is some very delicious food in the greater Boston area.
Probably.
If you're from Boston, go have some good food.
Yeah, I had a Hot Pocket for dinner, so for God's sake, have good
food. Do better than that.
Do better than that.
Time was against me, all right? We had to record a podcast. So, is there anything else that we should say?
Boston cuisine, it's better than Hot Pockets.
That's...
Don't go into marketing.
Yeah, they can have that one for free, man. That's all there.
They wouldn't pay for it. But yeah, so other than that, I guess, noteworthy event. So by taking the Magic World Championship, Huey Jensen is also, to my knowledge, the first openly gay Magic World champion.
Which is awesome.
I'm assuming that Twitter would not lie to me about that, given it's a very easily verified fact as far as I would think.
I mean, you'd think.
So congratulations for representation.
Yeah. That is pretty neat. I was not aware of that until immediately before recording the show. Like, oh, well, how about that? So there you go.
Yep. Shall we move on to the news that is actually dividing the world?
Well, there's so much more news that we have to get to. So I guess we can skip to the next big news.
We can
news
go to the other news.
Leave all of the rest of the not news that we don't have for later.
I mean,
later.
There was, what is it? Was it Trample Before Lifelink? Whoo!
Oh, man. We're still
No, dude, we covered that last week. We're good. We're good. We have this.
But the world still reels.
It does. It does.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, let's talk about this.
Okay, wait. Before we talk about that, there was an update to the MTGO 1v1 commander banned list.
Did you not read the notes that are in here?
Don't cover this, really. Well, I didn't realize this was Modo. I thought this was the whole French commander thing, or dual command, whatever it's called. But this is on Modo, so people do.
Plus, cover. It's fun when cards are banned in the thing. So very quickly going down the banned list. Baral, Chief of Compliance, Demonic Tutor, Emrakul the Aeonstorn, Enlightened Tutor, Imperial Seal, Mystical Tutor, Vampiric Tutor, and of course, Booster Tutor. One of these I added.
See, I can't believe some of these weren't already banned. That's what I can't believe.
Because it's a brand new thing.
Yeah.
And cards removed from the banned list are Arkham Dagson and Yisan the Wanderer Bard.
Ooh.
And if you're willing to brave the Wizards MTGO Tumblr website, you can find out why these cards are banned.
Yeah, the link is in the show note. Now, since this is a Modo only format, we're not going to go into any great detail. So if
be
you
aware
know,
that this is different from the normal 1v1 commander ban list, which you can Google.
Yeah, the paper, what, dual commander ban list, I guess it's called. But this is on Magic Online, so what you need to do is click the link in the show notes. They give a brief explanation for each one. But given just how niche this is, we'll let you guys go look that up yourselves. And besides,
in the
this
future,
is... Oh, this was today. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say, besides, today. This is old news, but no, this is today.
Yeah.
Neat.
And in the future, when these things pop up, if they can be bothered to post them in the Magic Online section of the website, I will mention.
Which they probably won't.
Very unlikely. At the very least, go to the page and check out that sweet giant picture of Roscoe the Pirate.
That is a very sweet giant Vraska pirate. She wrecked us at the Two-Headed Giant pre-release, let me just tell you.
I'll also say that while you're there, in the show notes, look for the hidden message. I'll give you a hint. You might need a Beaufort cipher.
Possibly. It depends on how I'm feeling
really
when I write it.
Stupid Demir McKay. Yeah.
What was that?
Cipher.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so yeah, the news that is actually dividing the world, and
dun 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 dun,
giving me plenty of sustenance on that delicious, delicious nerd rage.
Yeah, choose a side now. Doesn't matter which one you just chose. You're wrong.
Yeah, you are. At Worlds, or not Worlds, damn it. At the World Championship, they really got to come up with a new name for that. So at the World Championship on Sunday, they revealed the new logo.
Dun, dun, dun!
That Magic the Gathering will be using for the future.
Until the next new logo.
Until the next new logo. Now, granted, other than some color and texture changes, we've had the same logo for 24 years.
Yeah, more or less.
Like, there's the one that's on the back of the Magic card now, which was the original, which was blue and textured.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, in 1999, what did they do? They tightened it up a little, they cleaned it up a little bit, and they changed it to orange from blue.
Right.
And then in 2015, they changed the orange to the mythic rarity orange.
Yeah, and they made it a gradient instead of a texture.
Yes, which is what the mythic orange thing is. It's a gradient. Look real closely at your mythic rarity cards, if you ever actually open any. And you'll see what we mean.
It is like a heat map of how much you're probably disappointed in the crappy mythic you probably opened.
Oh, that's sad. And then, but it's still been the same basic shape as it was in 1993. And then today, well, I guess yesterday, they revealed a brand new logo for the first time ever for Magic. Completely not the same as the old one. And nerds across the internet lost their damn minds.
As is their way.
As is their way. For more discussion on nerd rage, look for an upcoming episode of The Mana Pool, because we're going to do a whole episode on that, I'm pretty sure.
I'm angry about that.
Exactly. So, it is, to use all of the buzzwords that have been bouncing around Twitter, bland, generic, soulless, boring, there's one more word that I keep seeing. Oh, badly designed, because that's a thing.
Can I add one to that?
Sure, go for it.
Sterile.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Now, so,
look, I think that there is, if I may interject and hijack lack of nerd rage, I think there is some validity to some of those complaints. So here's my take on it. The new logo is fine. Okay. I don't think it's terrible. I don't think it's amazing. I didn't look at it and go, oh my God, that's the logo I've been waiting for all this time. I have some complaints about it. They're kind of nitpicky. But, you know, if you go back and you look at the original logo, the blue one. Okay. So I do encourage everyone to go and take a look at this article. Even if they don't read the words, just flip through real fast. Just scroll past the logos just so you can get a look at how they evolved.
It's in the show notes.
The first, yeah, I know. I'm encouraging to follow the link. Oh, I see. The first one, it really looks like somebody drew this. And
someone
I know that sounds dumb to say out loud because someone did draw this, but you can look at it and you go, this is something a person came up with. Look at it there. They made that. And then you go to the next revision of the logo when they changed the color, and it still looks like, you know what? Someone made an update to the logo. They tightened up the font a little bit. They changed the color. That's kind of nice. Then you get to the mythic orange one, and it's like, I really feel like a couple of people decided, you know, we ought to go ahead and just make that orange the mythic orange. But then by the time you get to this one, this one looks like it was designed by committee, not by a person, if that makes sense. And that may not be true. There may be a single person at WotC who was responsible for this logo. I could see that, but that's not how it feels. It feels less personal than the old one did. And that's my complaint. But still, it's fine. Too many lens flares, but there's a lot of that going around.
So I'm not going to dig too deep into this because, as noted, individual nitpickiness on this doesn't really matter. It is a logo we're getting. It's the way they're doing it. And I'm not going to pretend that I carry any more weight than anyone else. But I'll note that I like the fact that they integrated the Planeswalker symbol in. Because that over time has become pretty much if there's one icon that symbolizes Magic the Gathering, it is the Planeswalker symbol. And I completely get why they would want to integrate that into their logo.
Yeah.
I think it's entertaining that after 25 years, now when you announce it, you can actually shout The Gathering too, because it was never all caps before. So it finally gets to be shouted as well.
Oh, good point.
Good on it. the actual logo itself, I think it's really funny that we went from blue rarity to rare to mythic, and now we're back to uncommon. I appreciate that they're making this more accessible to me. I will get three of this magic logo per pack because, in case you're wondering, no, they're never changing the back of the cards.
No, they're not doing that.
It will be Deckmaster forever, you guys.
Ask your parents.
For obvious reasons, they can't ever change the back of the magic card.
Yeah.
So they won't.
So they're not going to.
Yeah.
So that all said, like, I'm looking at the alternate thing they have under it, which is the utilization of it for Magic the Gathering Arena.
Which we'd seen before.
Yeah. And so I think that what they're really doing with this is making a variant on it that is more easy to create sub-brands for, because now you have Magic the Gathering Online, Magic the Gathering Arena, Magic the Gathering, not Duels of the Planeswalkers, Magic the Gathering, all these other things. And so this logo will be a little bit easier to work with for that when they throw it into the Magic the Gathering across the top, big funny name in that weird font across the bottom. Because no, it's not the Balearen font. It is something else that I'm sure they made up that is probably named after something funny. Based on the aesthetic of it, I wouldn't be surprised if they just called it Esper or something, but we'll see. Beyond that, like, I will agree that I don't like it when you use a gradient in your logo at all, just because I've worked on the brand end of things, and that's always a pain in the butt when you're going to print this on stuff. Like, you know, the gradients, the lens flares, all of that stuff is not actually, like, you know, best case logo treatment, but these are promo pictures. I have a feeling the final one will actually not be as blinged out as these are anyway. Yeah, and I say final as in what you will see on a pack of Magic, not what you see in promo shots of, hey, look, we have this cool new logo.
Yeah, I mean, you'll notice the lens flare is missing on the Magic the Gathering Arena logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're like any other logo that you ever see, the company actually has probably like four or five versions of this. You've got the black and white version, you've got the color version, you've got the high-res big lens flare-y version, you've got the one that will appear on Tiny Things version.
Like, here's the big secret about logos, at least in the United States. In order to actually register your logo, you have to be able to make a black-on-white version of it. It has to exist as an outline. Woohoo, so all of this other stuff.
Totally register the Maniple logo.
You can, and you probably should. But as a result of that, you will probably see several variations of this. So if they get, you know, universal feedback and someone can somehow prove that this is actually impacting prices at all, then they'll probably just drop it down to exactly this, but all black or all white, or, you know, maybe leaving the Planeswalker logo red. They'll drop the lens flare. They'll drop all the gradient stuff. Like, they can do all that. But first and foremost, this is a brand thing. And when it comes to brand, it says a lot about who you see yourself as a company. And what they're trying to say here is we are slick. We are new. We are digital. And I would not be surprised if over the next several months, if you were to wander to other parts of Wizards of the Coast, if they rolled out a new logo for Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh,
or some of these other things, because you tend to want to get all that stuff in alignment eventually. So I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying I've seen anything, but considering Dungeons & Dragons has been rolling back to the classic giant red simple font, I think they're just going to go for some simplicity in other areas too. So,
can I mention one like real tiny inside baseball sort of thing about this?
If you can legally.
So if you notice the older logos say Magic the Gathering, and then there's a little circle with an R in it. Yeah. And the new one just says Magic TM, The Gathering. So there is an actual difference between the TM and the R. And the R is a registered trademark. The TM is not. And it's actually easier to defend an R than it is a TM. But my guess is the paperwork is currently ongoing, that they filed for it, but it hasn't been finished yet, because they can't put the R on it until it's actually registered. They have to put the TM on it right now. So that's my best guess.
As some extra insight into that, a lot of companies have stopped bothering the R because it's not internationally recognized. You'll note that Google doesn't use anything.
Well, they're Google. They'll just crush
you. And that's the thing. Yeah. Like, they'll just the R makes it easier to sue people if they mess with your stuff. But if you're sufficiently large and have an army of lawyers,
AKA Hasbro.
Yeah. And they've already proven over time that they're willing to sue people. So there you have it. But yeah, so brand new logo. Go team. Also, if you scroll down, you get another picture of OmniScience. So that's the future clues. I'm sorry.
Hmm.
So
not sure how I feel about that.
Another thing. So by the way, this will be full product and promotions rollout in March 2018 with the release of Dominaria. So
that's a fun thing to say.
What?
The release of Dominaria.
Yeah, the set is not named The Release of Dominaria. That'll be when they go back to it later.
That'll be after the Binding of Dominaria.
Yes. But another thing that people have been saying, because this is the internet age where everyone has Twitter or Facebook and can say stupid things as if they're fact.
Wait a minute. I can just say stupid things on Twitter?
You can.
Why am I here saying stupid things?
I believe in your ability to multitask, Luz.
That is true.
Good point.
So, why not tweet during Eminem?
So the another thing that people have been saying that I've heard from many different people independently is that, well, clearly this means that Magic is going to focus on Arena and paper Magic is in danger. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
I sure love getting rid of the ability to print money. How about you?
Yeah, right.
The causality works that way. I think it went the other way, but
yeah. So it's really sad, and this is why I'm going to be doing a full episode of the Manipool about Nerd Rage. But it's really sad when we as podcasters have to be the voice of reason for a community.
Oh, that wasn't in the show notes.
What?
Us being the voice of reason.
No, but we usually are. We always tell people, you know, don't get out your knives and pitchforks and torches whenever someone has a video of someone cheating in an SCG event. Which, you'll notice we haven't had one of those in a while. I'm quite happy about that.
Yay.
And we're always telling them, just calm down. You know, everything is not awful. You know, when they took combat damage off the stack, we're like, they're dumbing down the game. No, use your brain. Calm down. Everything's fine. And look, everything's fine. And it's the same with this new logo. Calm down. Everything's fine. For those of you that are deeply, those of us, that are deeply enfranchised in Magic, this changes nothing. Nothing. Doesn't matter, unless seeing this on a pack is going to make you go and never buy Magic again, in which case you're not as deeply enfranchised as you think you are.
Hey, I think I read the post from that guy on Reddit.
Considering I don't go on Reddit, I'm sure I've heard it from, I'm sure lots of people are saying this. But, like, I ran into people who said that the new card frame back in 8th edition was going to make them never play Magic again, and I'm like, well, okay then, I guess good riddance. Like, if that's all it takes to drive you away from the game, clearly the game doesn't need you. And this is the same thing. And I hate to be all, you know, dismissive and exclusive. That's not exclusive, but dismissive. But really, if that's all it takes, then good. Please leave. Go away. Don't come back. We appreciate it. So, like, just calm down. Of course, they're going to focus on Arena. It's the next big thing. Right? Like, it's the thing that it's their first in-house massive digital product that is appealing to the masses, because Magic Online was never meant to appeal to the masses.
No.
Clearly, because when people that aren't Magic people were writing up about the reveal of Magic Arena, they said, hey, look, for the first time, you can play Magic digitally. What? Never mind the 7 years of Duels of the Planeswalkers, but Magic Online's been around for actually ever. But it's not for, you know, random Joe Schmo to learn to play Magic. No. So it's a massive acquisition tool. It's on the cusp of the 25th anniversary. Like, did you stop drinking Pepsi when Pepsi changed its logo? Because just in my lifetime, Pepsi's changed its logo like 8 times. Like, I don't drink Pepsi because I think Pepsi tastes like crap. So I don't drink Pepsi. It has nothing to do with their logo. Like, if you don't play Magic because you think Magic is stupid and complicated and boring, what do you care what the logo looks like? And if you do play Magic, what do you care what the logo looks like? You're already playing.
Also, to the Coke executives who are listening, there was really no reason to decide to call it Coke Zero Sugar. We already understood that. It's Coke Zero is fine.
I was confused by that, admittedly.
Wait, what?
They rebranded Coke Zero to Coke Zero Sugar for no reason.
That's right. Because sugar wasn't in the name before, now it is, because that's less confusing.
But Coke Zero had sugar in it, right?
No, it's aspartame. Cool bone-eating aspect.
That's why it has zero calories. You can't put sugar in something and still have zero calories. It doesn't work that way.
So wait, it's got zero. So it's got no sugar in it.
Correct.
So they're calling it zero
Coke
sugar.
Zero sugar. Yes.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound confusing when you've branded it as Coke Zero for so long? Now it sounds like it's Coke Zero with sugar.
Yeah.
See,
that's
and
what
here
I
we are complaining about a logo. See?
No, that's not a logo. That's a name.
I know. I'm just saying that there are worse problems out there than just changing a logo.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Like, if Magic the Gathering Arena was actually called Magic the Gathering Zip Doodle, then I would complain about that.
Oh, dude. MZD? Yeah. MTGZD? Zip Doodle.
So, yeah, just everyone take a step back, calm down, breathe. This is not the end of Magic. This is the beginning of more Magic. Like, branding is not for you. Jeremy Knoll, the, you know, from Star City Games, tweeted, he showed this to his non-Magic playing wife. Or he showed both logos. You know what? Let me just go look. Eh. Nope. Hang on. Is it this one? Nope. Was it this one? Nope. Oh my god. I love it when Twitter makes it so easy to find things that I want to find. Spoilers.
Yay.
It doesn't.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, Jeremy Knoll said, I showed my non-Magic playing wife the current logo and the new one. She likes the new one more. This is for people like her. And
I don't think my wife has seen it. I just sent her a message. I'm going to see what she says.
A word. I showed these two logos right next to each other to my mom, who also doesn't play Magic. I was like, so here's a picture. I want you to look at that. She said, uh-huh. That's right. That's Magic. And I said, here's another picture. What do you think of this? And she's like, oh, that's really cool. And I was like, ha! I was like, that's the new logo that they're going with, and nerds are losing their mind. And mom looked at me like I was speaking gibberish, and she goes, why? I'm like, because it's a new logo, nerds. And they don't like it. She's like, why don't they like it? I'm like, do you want me to be
on the internet?
I was like, do you want me to be honest? She goes, yeah. I'm like, because it's different, and different is bad. And she goes, what's wrong with those nerds? And I was like, sold! The whole point of this.
Your mom's great.
She is. She's so sweet. By the way, she said to tell you guys hi when I was talking to her earlier.
Oh, hi, Chewie's mom.
Because she's met Bill now, so she can put a face with the
I'm
name.
Real now.
But yeah, like the whole point, Bill, you're in marketing, right? The whole point of marketing of something like this is to attract new people, right?
There are different marketing strategies, but for the most part, when it comes to branding of logos and stuff, it's to get the attention of people that don't already know what you do. Because people who, well, it's establishing familiarity. And the thing is, anyone who cares about the old logo is already very familiar with Magic Data.
Yep.
Or you wouldn't notice. If this design pulls in new people, if this somehow is the thing that tips people in, then good job. But I think really and truly they wanted something that was easier to brand. And if we're being honest, the old Magic logo probably looks a little too much like the kind of logo that you would find in, let's say, Hearthstone, than they're comfortable with. Because if you look at the 99 to 2015 one, it's not that different.
Hang on, now I have to go look up. I can't call Hearthstone's logo to my brain. Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, wow.
Did Hearthstone steal Magic's old logo?
I don't think anyone owns that.
But, yeah. Everyone.
Okay, hey, I've got an honest reaction from my wife.
Oh, what'd she say?
She said, and I quote, and I just asked her, looking for honest, immediate reaction. Here it is. Quote, it feels like a design for a horror movie with some sort of seduction theme.
Ooh.
Not. I would play that game.
She also says that the purple background does something weird and draws your eye away from Magic.
Well,
not
okay,
really sure that I agree with that statement, but okay.
I mean, that's not look, part of it, technically. Okay, fine.
The bigger complaint is all this empty space after gathering, but before Magic ends. That's the biggest crime here.
Does it offend your...
It offends my sensibilities. It's not bad. The old one was balanced. At least it was almost a rectangle.
Oh my god.
Balanced like a rectangle. Also, just because I know someone has already started typing the tweet, I'm aware that Hearthstone has that logo because it's similar to Warcraft logo. Get it?
Did Warcraft steal Magic's logo?
Dun, dun, dun.
You read it somewhere else, but you heard it here first.
I hope you didn't read it somewhere else.
Oh my god, Warcraft stole Magic's... Wait, did StarCraft... Hang on.
I don't think StarCraft
did. Warhammer? Wait, no. Overwatch!
It's like these are common colors that are chosen this way because they contrast really well against dark. You notice how the original Magic logo was blue? It's because they wanted to put it on a spell book that was brown and orange.
Yeah. He's
blue and orange are very solid opposites to one another. It's really easy to print that on even low quality paper and have people tell the difference.
And man, some of that printing in the first year was not good.
Yeah, I was going to say, for an example of this, buy some of the dark.
Ew, don't do that.
Okay, look at some of the dark.
Look at it in the dark. You'll be fine.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Like I said, there will be a full episode about what I'd like to call it nerd rage, because it's nerds on the internet sitting at their keyboard furiously being angry about things that don't matter. So I'm not being especially disparaging. Like I myself have been guilty of nerd rage. I'm not saying I'm above that sort of thing. I'm just saying we all really need to calm down, use our brains, and realize that not everything is for you, specifically you. Sometimes things are for other people, and that's okay.
Whoa, whoa. Hold on. Could you say that again?
Nope.
Because I don't think I heard you right.
It's okay. It wasn't for you. You already know that.
See, now, damn it, that's funny.
That is funny.
So, there is... wait, there's a new thing that just appeared in the show notes. Was ist los?
So... Mark Rosewater did the thing where he asked Twitter to ask him questions about a set, and then he posted a bunch of them in an article. And while we were talking about the logo, I was skimming over it, and I noticed that Will Blanks, the hidden other member of the Monday Night Magic team, asked not one, not two, but three questions that all got beat. So one of them is the important one, which is, why weren't the goblins monkey? So I had to bring that up. The answer is, they talked about it, but in the end decided that they weren't actually monkeys, and calling them so in the creature type felt factually incorrect. So there you go. Science.
Nice.
So...
Ooh, and one of them is a nice long answer. What made Ixalan the right time to use asymmetrical factions? Which I'm not
gonna... Yeah, you read a little article there.
Yeah, which I'm not gonna read while... Well, I might read it while Bill is doing Magic Online stuff, but...
It's not going to take me very long to do Magic Online stuff.
That's a really good question.
Yeah. And
apparently Rosewater thought it was a really good question because he wrote like a little mini article here about it. So nice.
Yeah. Good job, Will.
Good job,
Will.
Way to
get good facts and opinions and mostly the Morrow.
Yeah. And to find that something in a fictional universe is not factually correct.
Monkey.
Therefore, it's not a monkey.
A goblin monkey. So I'm sorry, Clues. You were about to say something when I started that.
I was?
Yeah.
I got nothing. I'm sorry.
Oh, fair enough. What it was. I interrupted him so hard, I pushed it out of his brain.
That's probably what happened.
Moo.
All right, then. So, Magic Online stuff?
Yeah. Well, wait. No, hold on.
See,
hold
there
on.
You go. Now he remembers.
There's a thing we skipped over.
There is?
Yeah.
I even opened it and forgot to... Okay, so, when they did the...
It was the Arena preview,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, the preview stream for Magic the Gathering Arena. Someone noticed that on one of the burn spells or something like that, the wording was different.
Yep.
And they poked, I think it was Aaron Forsyth. My brain is telling me it was Aaron Forsyth. I don't know if that's right or not. On Twitter. And he said,
right.
He said, you're right. We're going to be redoing Planeswalker targeting rules in the near future.
Planeswalker redirection rule is what they're going to address.
Sure, whatever. They're going to make it to where you can target.
Well, look, someone was tweeting at you right then, so I had to stop them.
Fair enough. What?
Show enough.
So,
Shogun of Harlem.
Someone named Doop Boop Doop asked Mark Rosewater on his Tumblr, what Planeswalker redirection rule change? And Rosewater himself said, starting soon, we are taking away the Planeswalker redirection rule. And will instead tell you on the card, specifically, whether the card can target Planeswalkers. All of the old relevant cards will have player changed to player or Planeswalker. And so at the time, when Planeswalkers were introduced, they didn't know if that was going to stick or not.
Which is fair. It was a big change.
Yeah, it was huge. And it's another one of those things that some nerds lost their mind and claimed that was the death of Magic, which...
Well, it did give us the mythic rarity, so...
No, that was later. the first round of Planeswalkers were rares.
Yeah, yeah, but wasn't it the Planeswalkers' fault that they became... Look, I don't know. Somebody else fight about that.
Yeah, probably. But anyway, they didn't want to, like, have to jimmy in a bunch of old rules to change things for something that may or may not stick around. And this is also coming straight from someone's mouth. This might have been Forsyth again. I can't remember. I read this from somewhere official. And so they added in the redirection rule just to give you an extra way to deal with Planeswalkers. You can attack them with creatures. What if you aren't running creatures?
Burn.
Burn. Yeah, you can point. Yes. Burn. But since burn cards say creature or player, they were like, you can... Ah, here we go. You can target a player and redirect it to the Planeswalker. Nice. But that is some unknowable rules nonsense.
Yeah, I was going to say, for those of you who don't really know what we're talking about, okay, so here's the thing. Let's say Chewie had a Planeswalker. I'm going to say it's Jace. Yeah, that sounds right. And so I aimed a lightning bolt at Chewie. I go, hey, lightning bolt targeting Chewie. And now Chewie's got this counter spell in his hand. He's like, well, yeah, I can totally take that damage. But if that goes to Jace, oh, man, what am I going to do? Well, here's the thing. On resolution, I'd get the choice of whether to redirect the damage to Jace, which I'm totally going to because that guy's smug and I don't like him. needs to get a lightning bolt. But by then it's too late for Chewie to answer it. He wouldn't know whether it's going to be his face or Jace's face. I mean, except by knowing me until resolution.
Yeah,
but
that's a matter of choice.
If nowadays, or if in the future, excuse me, if in the future you're actually going to be targeting the Planeswalker directly, that's going to change the decision tree at least a little bit. And chances are at least some fraction of you have been doing it wrong all this time.
Very likely.
True. But not only that, but the point I was making was that it's unknowable rules nonsense. You can't look at magic cards and figure
it
out.
Yeah, that was the point I was making too.
Oh, I thought yours was more nuanced.
Well, no, it really was.
They're both true in this case.
They are, yeah. So there's nothing on any burn spell or any planeswalker that will tell you this. This is a rule you have to learn that is completely independent of the cards. And that's a small problem, especially for new players. And it's been shortcutted to bolt your Jace. It's just how people say it now. If they're going to bolt your face and redirect it, they just say bolt your Jace. You know, and
yeah, if you were to do what Clues says with someone who's not a judge or very versed in the rules, they would think you're cheating. If you said, I bolt you, okay, no response, cool, Jace takes three, they're going to think you're cheating because that's not a widely known interaction.
Yeah, exactly. Outside of, you know, those of us who have podcasts and, you know, pay attention to this sort of thing.
Yeah. Another thing that this actually is fixing is for newer players, the confusion over why loss of life can't be redirected to planeswalkers. Because loss of life is a thing only players can do. And in the future, when you have cards specifically saying damage to player or planeswalker or anyone, then that's obvious. But people showing up in the future who just get target player loses blah, they don't have that. There's no weirdness again that requires you to understand what's going on behind the scenes. The cards will do what they say they do, as things always should.
So they're actually going to change things like Lightning Bolt to say, or this is an idea they've been kicking around. I don't know if this is official or not, but it was mentioned. Deal 3 damage to any target, which means anything that could take 3 damage, you can use Lightning Bolt to deal 3 damage.
That seems really clean. I like that.
Yeah. And things that are specifically just player or planeswalker, or things that are specifically just creature or planeswalker will say that. But yeah. Anything that's universal, like Shock or Lightning Bolt, will say to any target. Which is really nice.
That's right. Oracle text is changing for Shock.
So
kind of funny.
No, not really. No. So
so MTGO.
Yeah, yeah. Magic Online.
You're right. Deal 3 damage to MTGO.
It is a target.
Yeah.
For a lot of bad jokes.
Yeah. Just ask Worth. So anyway, Magic Online news gets posted on Tuesdays. We podcast on Mondays, so most of my news is old. In fact, it's so old that everything in the weekly announcements is irrelevant. Isn't that great?
Nice.
Because all of it's like, hey, look, Ixalan's here, you know. Hey, look, there's a standard PTQ last Saturday. Put that on your calendar. I guess Sarkhan can go to that, but nobody else. And I told you about all the other relevant things because they really just copy pasted most of the old list of this one because nothing was going on. You don't get a lot of Magic Online stuff right when a new set comes out. But what you do get are bugs. Lots and lots of bugs. Brand new cards, brand new interactions, sometimes new rules. you get bugs. So we're going to talk about the bug blog. So first up, if Unesh Cryosphinx Sovereign, because someone had to write that and translate it into 20 plus languages, or similar creatures have their creature type changed, they do not trigger. Bum, bum, bum. I'm sure that'll be relevant somehow. Corner cases, yay. Hey guys, Fathom Feeder. Remember that guy?
No.
No.
He's the weird blue-black Eldrazi drone.
Oh, you're all right, yeah.
Yeah, he ingests and stuff. And so anyway, if he's activated on an opponent's turn, he also exiles the top card of your library. So hungry. Keeps on eating. Because, yeah, his whole deal is draw a card, each opponent exiles the top card of his or her library. Well, you're the opponent on your opponent's turn. Apparently, that's all it takes for Magic Online to get confused.
Well, you're an opponent of someone.
Yeah. And Magic Online is taking a bigger picture on it.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so
we talked about this last week.
Yeah, I seem to recall making this joke before, too.
That was in the Tumblr. It hadn't made it to the bug blog
yet. Oh,
that's why
sense.
That one, these two in particular, sound familiar.
Yeah. So you've been recapped. But there's some more things in here that I don't think are in there.
Right. It was just those two in the Tumblr post from last week.
That makes sense. Okay, so Axis of Mortality, which is the enchantment where at the beginning of your upkeep, you may exchange two target players' life totals.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may have two target players exchange life totals. It still fully resolves when a player cannot gain life. That's weird. Just a mistake, I guess. Because, fun fact, whenever your life total is set to a number, you are gaining or losing that much life, so this should not work that way.
Yeah. Whoops.
Which is why it's a bug. Conqueror's Galleon, the 210 vehicle that transforms into a funny land that I opened a foil of that was very pretty, but not very good. Conqueror's Galleon will incorrectly return to the battlefield transformed under its owner's control. That's amazing. That is way better than the actual card. Do not build a deck taking advantage of this. That would be cheating.
Wait, what? Will incorrectly return to the battlefield transformed under its owner's control. Isn't that what it does?
I'm assuming something else causes that to happen. Like if it gets blinked or something. But they didn't state that, so.
Oh, like if someone blinks it, it might turn into
Conqueror's Galleon. Or it gets reanimated or something weird, like artifact reanimated or something.
Oh, good lord.
Like, if it actually works that way, that's amazing and it's cheating. They didn't give us enough detail to verify that's what's happening, but the whole point of the card is, you know, proving the front of it and attacking is a pain in the butt, but the payoff is the amazing card drawing nonsense on the back.
Yeah.
So if you could just cheese that, then damn. Don't cheat. So speaking of things that don't work, Settle the Wreckage does not give the targeted player the option to not search their library. Gonna do it. Yeah, so exile attacking creatures target player controls. That player may search his or her library for that many basic land cards, put them on the battlefield tapped, then shuffle his or her library. Well, you're gonna search. So, in its own weird way, this is really niche tech against people who have stacked the top of their library, I guess. You're gonna search and shuffle, whether you like it or not. Weird.
Very weird.
Oh, dude, Rhymescale Dragon. That was the first dragon I saw, I think. Rhymescale Dragon does not place an ice counter on targeted creatures. Well, that sucks.
Considering that's what it does.
Yeah. Yeah, its whole deal is pay two and a snowman to tap target creature and put an ice counter on it. And more importantly, creatures with ice counters on them don't untap during their controller's untap steps. Like, you're really taking a lot of punch out of this 7-mana control dragon. So, there you go. Here's a rough one. Commandeer does not gain control of the targeted non-creature spell.
That's what it does.
Yeah, you think so? What would the text of gain control of target non-creature spell?
Whoops.
Well, that's not right.
There's your problem.
Looks like you just exiled two blue cards for no reason.
I mean, not necessarily. They could have paid, what, seven for nothing?
For nothing.
Wouldn't that be
great? Wonder if you can still choose new targets for the thing that you don't gain control of. I don't even know what that would do. That's weird. Hey, look, it's Coco. It's not in standard anymore. Isn't that great? It's been a good year. Collected Company does not allow you to put fewer than the maximum number of creatures onto the battlefield.
Oh, so you couldn't miss and only put one or zero onto the battlefield.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like put up to two. So you could always just choose not to put them out there for various reasons, too.
But it says it won't let you put fewer than
Yeah, it's not letting you. So
you have to put two.
Yeah. All right, so certain treasure prompts do not display mana in Wooburg order. Oh, man, that's like that trample nonsense all over again.
You mean trample before lifelink?
Yeah, that's a weird bug. And Gishoth, is it Gishoth or Gishoth?
I would say Gishath or Gishoth, something, Gishath. I guess.
The Sun's Avatar, you know, that legendary dinosaur commander.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's going to be for the rest of its life.
Yeah.
Does not allow you to decline to put a dinosaur creature into play if you have one in your hand. So, do that.
But, wow.
I guess technically that's telling your opponent you have a dinosaur in your hand that maybe for some reason you didn't want to use right now.
I guess.
So, or maybe dinosaurs are just jerks. I don't know. Dinosaur Avatar, I don't understand it.
Or maybe Gishoth is broken.
Could be. Here you go. This one's nice and vague. There are known issues with giving a spell that is put on the bottom of a library as it resolves the flashback ability. Known issues. We don't know what they are, but they are known.
So they know, but they're not going to tell us.
They're not telling us, which means I can only assume that if you do that, you win $3 in real money.
Yay!
They can't let us know that, but they don't want you. Hashtag clickbait.
I was about to say, what is Wizards of the Coast not telling you?
I think if you do it that way, it changes the logo back. all right. And finally, just some more general things. If a user chooses to modify a submitted trade offer, no cards will display. The workaround for this, because there's a way to fix this, is to select Reset All Filters to redisplay the cards. So workarounds are nice. And finally, certain cards, such as Hot or Freeblade, do not display a legality error for the Pauper format in the collection scene. So be aware, Pauper legality. Know what cards are legal in Pauper, I guess.
Say, wait a minute. Hot or Freeblade? Oh, it's an uncommon, which would be why it's supposed to show a legality error. Right, I got it. I'm paying attention.
I'm sort of wondering how they managed to mess that up on a specific card.
Certain cards, such as this one card.
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, they just are like, I'm going to pick a random uncommon, like Hot or Freeblade.
Here's the thing. Uncommon contains the word common, and so it shows up.
Oh, filters, right.
Yep.
Well, I guess they can at least play with the new logo.
Semicolon and drop tables.
So, did you just do a little Bobby Tables reference?
I did, yes.
Excellent. It took me a sec. So yeah, that's pretty much it for Magic Online news right now. If you want to really keep up with the stuff and not be told that you missed everything, you can go to the Wizards website on Tuesday and go to Products and Magic Online and see the actual upcoming news for a given. So I believe in the near future we'll start, like, I went over these like a week or two ago. We'll start having the cool flashback formats again, and when we do that, we'll probably go at greater length on these things. But for right now, we're in pre-release/release mode. Brand new set, so there's not going to be a whole lot going on other than that. So hooray, Moto over.
Moto over.
That seems like news.
Well, I mean,
the end of Magic the Gathering.
If you look at the internet, then people are swearing up and down that Arena is the end of Magic Online, even though Wizards has said multiple times, no, it's not.
Magic Why Online would you ever totally get rid of a program going. Where people are giving you money? The end. Like, keep the servers running, continue to collect draft money. It's a good deal for them. They're not going to mess that up.
Because nerds on the internet.
If people will pay, they will continue to play.
So then, are we done?
I think so.
We're going to wrap it up?
Something like that. All right, so I'll jump in first. You can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinBob. There's no I in Goblin because it's hiding in the new logo. See if you can find it. Here's a hint. It's in the Magic. Possibly also the Gathering. But not the. that's the thing that got you. Okay.
Yeah, it is. Because you said it. You said the Gathering and not the.
Yeah. Well, excellent.
Is it in the Planeswalker symbol? Is that where I missed it?
It's possible. I have not checked its spark lately. I mean, it gets lost often enough. I wouldn't be surprised.
So. Just don't let it go to Ixalan.
Could be. Well, I mean, you know, that would keep it away for more than a week, I guess.
Then you'll know where it is.
Yeah, then I'll know where it is all the time. It'll be eaten by a dinosaur. So past that, you can find me in person at Cosplay America, not this weekend, but next weekend in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, because I'm the programming director there, and I put together a whole bunch of I coordinated a whole bunch of workshops and tutorials, and we're going to play Cosplay Checkers, where you have real people dressed up in funny outfits as human checker pieces and a giant game of checkers. There will be jumping. I need to find Burger King hats between now and then. I'm going to check Burger King.
Be the place to go. Yeah.
That seems like the right choice.
Clutch move. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do what I can. Burger King has not been overrun with Rick and Morty fanboys, so I think I'll be able to get in and out without too much trouble, but not actually in and out, because that's the other end of the country.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And past all of that, yeah, I think that's enough nonsense for right now. So I'll hand things over to Clues.
All right. So, hey, a couple of things. First of all, if you want to hear more of me, you can do that on the Random Discard podcast, which, hey, had a new episode post just today. Look at that.
Yay.
Making progress. We got a small
Wait, is that on the internet?
It is. It's totally
man,
on the
should
internet.
Put stuff there.
Yeah. Although I hear that they're angry nerds on the internet. So.
Well, I mean, they're angry nerds in real life, too.
Be careful.
Apparently they're in McDonald's for some reason.
Yeah, apparently my co-host and I, we talked about some indie films that you've probably never heard of, part of the Star Wars universe. I don't know. I think it's going to be a big
thing. Like the Reagan program?
Yeah, it's weird, but I don't think it's the same.
Oh, okay.
Although I can't be 100% sure. I'll have to get back to you on that. We'll do some more research.
Okay.
In another piece of news, and this one is a little harder. I am going to be taking a break from Monday Night Magic. And, the main reason for this is real life. This has been one of the toughest semesters I've ever faced. And so I just don't have time to accomplish everything in my life right now. So I'm temporarily going to step away. And I know what you're thinking. Hey, Clues, that sounds really weird. You just said that you've got new episodes of Random Discard, but you don't have time for Monday Night Magic. There's a big difference between recording for like an hour once every other week and talking to these two yahoos for, you know, like all of Monday night.
We do that.
Because if you listen to the Odds and Ends, which, you know, if you're a supporter on the Patreon, you get access to the Odds and Ends. And that's where the real show happens. Then you know what we're talking about. So so there you go. I'm going to wander away for a bit. I'm going to see if I can find the eye that belongs in Goblin Nabob, and if I do, I'll let Squee know, I guess. Let's say.
Just, I mean, let me know you found it. Don't tell me where it is, though. That takes away the fun.
Yeah, it definitely takes away the fun. Yeah. So I'll be back. I don't know when exactly, but it's going to be at least a few weeks. So there you go.
And don't worry. I'm sure if something comes up that Clues feels strongly about, then he will be like, hey, guys, you got room for me?
Yeah, I'll keep my soapbox handy so I can come back and stand on it and yell.
Damn right.
And if we ever really need to get Clues involved, we'll just start podcasting from his lawn. He can't help but yell at us then.
That's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And of course, if you want to reach me directly, you can hit me up on Twitter. I am at LockLuse, spelled just like it is in the show notes. Over to you, Chewy.
Yay! So first up, I would like to point out that what Clue says is true. The real show happens in the Odds and Ends. And if you go to patreon.com/themanapool, you can check out the stuff there. And this is a not at all clever or subtle segue into thanking the following patrons in, well, I would say no particular order, but in the order that Patreon shows them to me, and I don't know what that order is. So a big thanks goes out to Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Lands Delicious, Timu Helisharju, please, for God's sake, tell me how to pronounce your name. Daniel Hall, John Morris, Stuart Slough, I hope that's right, please, for God's sake, tell me how to pronounce your name. PJ McMullen, Bosco Bertain, Casey, Nathan Hay, AJ Heavieris, Cody Buckowing, Jacob Jansons, who was in last week's Brawling with Buddies, and he actually made a Blameworth joke during that video.
Somebody's got to.
Which made me giggle. Jason Kaus, Gothic Man, that's Patrick, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Dan Holm, Mike Milliburn, and Aaron Goodwine, the Beast Father. Thank you all so very much for your continued support. And thank all of you out there just for listening. But if you want to do some more, then spread the word. Tell people about the show. And if you want to do even more, then feel free to check out the Patreon. You can get Manipool episodes and YouTube videos early. You can get the early stuff and access to the odds and ends, or you can get the early stuff, the access to the odds and ends, and get your name read off on both shows and on the end slate for all the videos that go up in each month that you support at that tier. Yay. So as for what else I've got going on, dude, I don't know. I had to go to...
No, there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
No. I had to go to West Virginia. I think it was Tuesday last week, because I seem to remember saying, all right, you guys, I got to go because I got to drive to West Virginia tomorrow. I have to go to West Virginia, a more different part of West Virginia, tomorrow again. So that's awful. But that's a thing that I have to do tomorrow. Content has been sort of sparse lately because the day after I got back from West Virginia, so on Wednesday, I developed a killer headache that lasted for about 72 hours. And I don't usually get headaches, and when I do, they're not that bad, but I think this might have been my first actual migraine. Cause it lasted for 3 days. And it was bad. So, yeah, my apologies. I worked my ass off over the weekend and got a bunch of stuff done, but of course, a trip to West Virginia tomorrow eats up most of my time. I'm going to try to stream when I get home because the new Overwatch event starts tomorrow, right, Bill?
Yeah, dude, we've got to get scared.
So are you free tomorrow night by chance?
I should be. Like, I might, just due to the way that work's been lately, I might not be here immediately, but I should definitely be here in streaming time.
Nice. So
we got to, have they actually shown us any of the new stuff yet? Are they keeping it under wraps for a change?
Let's see, there's a Mei skin that looks like a Chinese vampire.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, yeah, cool. I'm looking at him now.
Oh, yeah, a Zenyatta skin that looks like a Priest of Cthulhu with a tentacle face. And then I forget.
Oh, dude, is that Symmetra?
Yeah, I forget what Symmetra's skin is. She looks sort of like Kerrigan from StarCraft.
Yeah.
But I can't remember really what cool, her skin actually is.
Huh. Like, that's really cool.
It might be like a Zergling style thing. I don't know if they're doing the alternate realities thing like Heroes of the Storm.
It's kind of Diablo-y.
Maybe she's a demon thing. I don't know. I saw a very zoomed in picture.
That's really cool,
picture.
Though. So neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, way to continue not getting skinned, Hanzo.
Look, he got robot Hanzo in the last event. That's enough for him.
So did everyone else.
Two events ago. anyway, so yeah. If I get back in time and I'm not completely dead, I should be streaming Overwatch tomorrow night. That's Tuesday night, in case you're listening to this. At some point before Tuesday night, you should come hang out. It's twitch.tv/themanapool. We'll be running through whatever the new event is and complaining about not getting the skins we want.
As is our way.
Yeah. So that's fun. I streamed some more West of Loathing on, I guess it was Saturday night. It was Saturday night. Yeah, that was a blast. I meant to stream for like 2 hours. After about 3 hours, I was like, hey guys, I gotta go. And they convinced me to stay for another 2.5. So I ended up streaming 5.5 hours of West of Loathing and had entirely too much fun, as is the case with that game. So the next time I'm able to stream that, I will try to give you guys fair warning. I only stream it when my friend Sarah can watch, because she's the reason I'm playing it at all. So she would leave me the hell alone.
You think that's going to work?
Well, so she'll leave me the hell alone about playing West of Loathing.
There you go.
So yeah. Over on YouTube, I put up another Lich King fight in Hearthstone, the Warrior, which was a nightmare, but I eventually got it. It was recorded last Monday, before we did Monday Night Magic. I had like 2.25 hours of footage, because it was brutal. And, yeah, I finally got it turned into a just under an hour watchable video that details my struggles without all the dead space where I sit there and stare at my collection in Hearthstone and desperately try to figure out how to build a deck that can do this. Spoilers, I eventually did, and it's very strange. It was a puzzle. Like, the other Lich King fights have been either just brutally unfair, or, oh, okay, is that how I do that? Nice. This one took severe head thudding into keyboard. Like, it was bad. So, hey, if you enjoy my pain, you should go check it out. But I'm going to actually shut up now. So, Clues, we will miss you, my friend.
I will miss you, too. I'm not dying. I'm just not recording on Mondays.
Okay, you better still send us...
You, a lot.
You better still send us cute pictures of kitties and stuff so I can go...
I'll see what Aww. I can do.
Excellent. So, yeah, you can find me anywhere on the internet that is the Manipool. Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, Patreon, those are all
MySpace.
The Manipool. No, no, no MySpace. That doesn't really exist anymore.
Friendster.
Was that ever a thing?
No.
Oh, okay. What was the one? It was in some sort of movie. Was it Face Space? What was the one from the IT Crowd?
I don't remember.
I don't either. There was some sort of thing that sounded like Facebook or MySpace or something. Anyway. Yeah. All of those places you can find me and my content. And if you just want the podcast, that's themanipool.com. And if you want Monday Night Magic, well, you're already listening to it.
Good job.
The URL is down in the show notes. If you're on MTGCast, skip the one that says RSS feed for Monday Night Magic at the very top. That's not it. That's some crap that MTGCast, the website, puts there, and it doesn't work. Go further down into the show notes to find the one that says RSS feed for Monday Night Magic. There. You're welcome. If I could get rid of the one at the top that doesn't work, I gladly would, but I don't have that kind of control over MTGCast, and the people that do aren't bothering. So, I'm gonna go now. This has been episode 579 of Monday Night Magic, where apparently, I think teenage girls buy clothes? I seem to remember 579 being a thing back in high school when I had a very small girlfriend. Seems like she shopped at 579. I don't know if it's still a thing. Tweet at me and let me know if 579 is still a thing.
It appears to be.
You are not on Twitter right now. Or you probably
are. No, actually I am.
Yeah. Lord. So, yeah. This has been Monday Night Magic 579. Thank you all so very much for listening. And go play some magic.